There is a kind of an affinity between art and liturgy because they both take us out to the liminal experience. A limen is the threshold of a door. It's that line of demarcation between outside and inside, from one room to the next, from finite reality to infinite reality, from the human to the divine. The limen is that plane between. And that threshold is the meeting place, let's say, between ordinary life and transcendent life. Now, we humans were created in the image of God, and so therefore there is some transcendence, there's some infinity in us, and water seeks its own level, and so we are always longing, whether we're conscious of it or not, we're longing for transcendence. We're longing for a deeper sense of the spiritual aspect of our human nature, not just the physical, but the spiritual too. And art leads us out to that threshold so that when you experience a beautiful piece of music or you stand before an amazing work of art, and this is the difference between just cheap art and art that is timeless and in museums, because something about the human spirit just recognizes that there's something that takes us to another place when we look at this piece of art or when we experience this music. Well, liturgy does that same thing. It uses art. You know, we have the environment that we set for the liturgy. We have the music most of the time. and it transcends us. It takes us out to that threshold point between the human and the divine. And it's a thrilling thing. It's something that we always long for because it's part of who we are. And yet at the same time, there's something kind of scary about it, because it's unknown, because it's out there, and it's out of our control. You see, what happens in liturgy is that we lose control in here. And the first sign of that is we leave our individuality at the door. We let go of our individual selves and we join the body of Christ. And so we're here rubbing shoulders, even with safe distancing, with other people who are also members of the body of Christ. And we're facing an altar of sacrifice. There's something kind of scary about that letting go, the laying down of our lives. And we pass through the baptismal font normally, and there's something deadly about baptism. It's a dying of self so that we can rise to our union in Christ. Now, it's symbolized, I think, very beautifully in that first reading from Deuteronomy today. Moses reminds them that they left their slavery to sin and death in Egypt. They left a bondage, a horrible kind of life, and they were promised the promised land of Israel. They were promised redemption, but they had to go through 40 years of the wilderness experience to get there. They had to go through the Red Sea to get there. The Red Sea is baptism. The 40 years in the wilderness is that lifelong pilgrimage, that lifelong journey that you just can't instantly get there. You have to die daily. You have to die to Egypt, to the flesh pots of Egypt, so that you can rise to the milk and honey of Israel. Well, here we are, passing through the Red Sea, facing the difficulties of the desert, the sacrificial offering that this altar is, so that we can transcend and join the divine life. So there's fear involved, but there's also immense hope. The hope is stronger than the fear. The love is stronger than the death. And so God took on our human flesh, took on our human nature in order to invite us into a share in his divine nature, this wonderful exchange of divine and human that always takes place here at the altar. And the Last Supper is happening the night before he dies, the giving of his life, the sharing of everything, even death, so that we might rise to newness of life. And he leaves us as a sign of that, as an eternal remembrance, his body and blood in the Eucharist. And so an exchange takes place here that is symbolized in various ways in the liturgy. The most obvious way is in the real presence of Christ in the bread and the wine. And so there's an exchange. God provides the earth, which grows the wheat. God provides our ingenuity, our ability to figure out how to grind that and turn it into dough and bake it into bread. So there's the earth, and there's human hands and human ingenuity, but both of those come from God. God gave us the earth. God gave us our abilities. So then we do something with that. We make bread, and we offer it back to God. And then God offers himself back to us in that bread. So it goes back and forth, and we're always the big winners, because everything comes from God, and everything is going to God, and God is forever coming to us in the Eucharist. We give bread, he gives us his body. We give wine, he gives us his blood. And then St. Paul in that second reading says, is not the participation in this bread, in this one bread, a participation in his body? Is not our sharing of this cup a participation in his blood? So divine participation is always there in the Eucharist. We are participating in the life of God. We're transforming into divinity. And that's made possible because divinity is transforming into humanity in the incarnation in Christ. So again, this human and divine exchange, this dialogue back and forth. And then finally, another way that's symbolized in the Mass is in the dialogues. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks. We give thanks. So this dialogue back and forth is the verbal, artistic expression of what is going to happen in the transformation of the bread and wine, in the transformation of us into sharers in divinity, so that initiation from God and the response, and the initiation from God and the response, is all a sort of a normal part of the liturgy that we are not often consciously aware of. But when we think about it, it just makes sense, doesn't it? That this human-divine exchange is what the liturgy is all about. And it's most powerfully symbolized in the transformation of the bread and wine and in the transformation of you and me into Christ, into sharers in divine life.